table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, or that was the Holy of Holies, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now particularly speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the priest, the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And here we'll begin. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. The order and establishment of the tabernacle was divine inspiration to man given by the Holy Spirit. If you ever want to know God's plan, if you ever want to know God's word, I mean really know God's word, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that expounds it to you. The Lord's been so encouraged me about, and I appreciated eating dinner with Dan tonight, spiritual. Spiritual. So many things to spiritual, the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things. But I was thinking, what is that spiritual that he talks about that really finishes us off? Is that restoring each other in love, isn't it? He who is spiritual, restore. Love, love, love. Hallelujah. And then talking about spiritual is that Holy Spirit shedding abroad in our hearts the love of God. So important. But this is what so struck me as coming into here is these men that were inspired divinely to set this up, which everything pointed to Christ. As we've been studying this, every single thing inside that tabernacle, the tabernacle itself, the people, every type and sign points to Christ. And it's complete, as we saw. Every single believer is represented in there. And by the grace of God, I hope to be that wonderful cherubim. Again, that looked at the judgment and saw it turned into the mercy seat. Praise God. And that was only, again, by the blood. And that's what we're going to get into, Lord willing, maybe even this evening. And Lord willing, as we study, it is all by the blood, which is, again, the grace of God. But turn with me real quick to 2 Peter. We're going to have a lot of references this evening. And the references are endless. But I pray that the Spirit just guides me in the verses of that we don't get bogged down, but again, the verses that would be so encouraging to expounding on this wonderful book of Hebrews. But that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It only comes if God draws you, doesn't it? Know that about this. God drew you here this evening. It wasn't any goodness of you. Don't get feeling too good about yourself. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of life we want to have. We want to be moved by the Holy Ghost. And again, that takes a spiritual life. But this is signifying that our acceptance of Christ into our hearts is through the manifestation and encouragement of the Holy Spirit to accept Christ. I like that, but I'll put it in layman's terms a little bit more for you here, at least the way I understand it. Again, this is the Holy Spirit knocking at the door of your heart. When you get saved, when He wants to come in, He's the one that deals with you. And He says, I've got a wonderful gift of grace for you. He wants to give you life. You're dead. And I hope you understand that. You're dead. If you're here tonight and you don't have Christ in your life, you're dead. You're walking dead. And He says, be alive. Come unto me. And that's that Holy Spirit. And by the grace of God, He's the one that encourages, convicts that heart to open up unto Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Just turn there. I could quote it for you, but I always love to read it with you. That's 1 Corinthians 12:3. And just to know that again, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Read that for yourself. You can't even say that Jesus is Lord, but for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Know what a gift that is. The way into the holiest of holies, as we're reading here, is none other than that of Christ and His sacrifice. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is the gift. But you know, it's an ever-expanded meaning. I love this because of what God has shown us through Jesus' homegoing. It didn't end there with salvation. Just the Holy Spirit knocking on the heart did it. Didn't at all. He said, I must go away. It's expedient, necessary, absolutely essential that I would go away so that the Comforter would come. Hallelujah. You young people, again, just so precious to see, not just the, again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, but really stepping into the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about. That's another thing about the spiritual one. Hey, Paul spoke in tongues more than they all. It's a wonderful sign. It's edifying to yourself. It's a wonderful thing. Partake in that with the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't approach that by feeling in any way. It's in truth. And praise God when you realize that you, again, I love when the Holy Spirit comes on with me like that. Because you know what? I can't even express how much I love Him. I could never even get it done. But isn't it wonderful that it gives you that prayer language and you can just sit there in such freedom knowing He's in complete control of that worship that you have with Christ? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I appreciate that you would know what joy and gladness that we have in that. But again, He died and left so that the Holy Spirit could come and lead us into all truth. Can you even imagine that? We're talking the Holy of Holies, and walking in there and being bold in that room to be fed in things that they weren't able to see back then. They wanted to see these things. They wanted to enter into there. But you know what? Only that cherubim was back in there. Hallelujah. That was the one that was seated right there in the mercy seat. What great grace and mercy is on our lives. Again, talking to a man that didn't know the Lord this week, he said just about, I guess his mother went to Africa and saw about how these people live and all that. And he got to saying, can you imagine that just to be born in America, what a gift. And I thought, well, that's wonderful that you see that. But to be born of God, can you even imagine that? And then to be born of God at this time, to have this type of a message, that the dispensation and the grace of God that's come down upon this meeting in such a way, and the years that are behind it. I was thinking again as I was talking to one of the precious brothers about how, again, not to magnify Brother Copley, but what a wonderful life. Everyone that I've pretty much ever met except for one man, and I thank the Lord that He's allowed me to talk about the things of Christ with other people. It's Him. Could always be traced back to that witness, to that ministry. Do you realize how special to Christ we are? I hope we know that value. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that He's opened that door into God's best. But the Old Testament saints had an entrance to God, but it wasn't public. It was kind of hidden, wasn't it? It's back there in that Holy of Holies, only the high priest. They were still saved by faith, so don't think that it was anything different. It was still by the blood and by faith. But the open manifestation wasn't there till the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. The first tabernacle contrasts the true tabernacle that we read about in Hebrews 8:2, which is Christ. The first tabernacle, it says, vanished. And the old needs to be put away. And now the everlasting is, and we, by the grace of God, have seen Him enter into heaven itself. And He's there waiting for us. Hallelujah. Can't imagine what He's preparing for us, can we? I'm just so thankful that Jesus Christ is there. Talks about mansions, talks about all these things. But again, as it struck my heart, not to be humble or not to try to be anything, whatever. I thank You, Jesus, that You're preparing it. But even if it was a shack, if You're there, it's my mansion over there. And hallelujah. Thank God it's no shack. So let's go on to verse 9 and 10. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. So even though the tabernacle and its system, it was excellent. Don't ever think that this wasn't an excellent system. It was a wonderful operation, but it was only for a season, and it was only until the great high priest would come. Hallelujah. Its time is past. It's over. Let's turn to Proverbs 25:2. Mom used to quote this, and I so appreciate it. 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of God to conceal it. And that's what he did here. But it didn't end there, did it? But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. See, I want to be a king. By the grace of God, I'm asking the Lord, draw me. Draw me into this. Priests and kings, it's there. Oh, I hope you see that it's real. Shows it to me more each and every day. And every day as you start into the Word of God, I'll tell you, the humility that you get, because it's like, it's just, you've never been there before, isn't it? Isn't it so wonderful? Hallelujah. He just continues to expand on it. Turn over to 1 John 2:8. There's something about searching out this mystery. That's 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. We can now understand it all. That veil has been removed. We can enter in there. We're without excuse, even more so than those Old Testament saints. You ever thought about that? The responsibility that you have, the honor and privilege that each one of us here have to be graced, to be absolutely graced with this message. It isn't just the gospel of grace. It's like Brother Copley brought out. This is the gospel of glory. This is a shared glory that he's offering to you. I hope we see that. I hope we treasure that. I hope that really is, by the grace of God, the vision that we have in our lives. No matter what it may be. I see some of you young people. I'm so excited for you going to college. Proud of you. I think it's a wonderful thing. As long as Christ is first. It won't rob you. It won't rob you. You could let it rob you. But things, in a sense, the Lord may put them in your life. He may bless you with things. But don't let them get you. As Brother Hill always used to say, God's not worried about what you have. He's just concerned what has you. And He has you. Now, understand that and yield to it. And then you have such a wonderful life. Praise God. But these were the wonderful gifts and sacrifices. But now Christ, because He is the gift of love. The old was imperfect. It couldn't remove any guilt or fully cleanse. Yet, year after year, we had to be reminded. Those people had to be reminded of that, because the high priest had to go back into that Holy of Holies and continue. And let's just jump ahead and read chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. See, the law cannot perfect. Only Christ can. And you think about it. Think about what's coming out of, I would have to say, pretty much every religion today. It's man's goodness. It's what can I do? It's how good a person I can be. Accountability. Let's talk about good things. Let me be a motivational speaker and try to lift you up in your own self for what you can do. That's what's coming out. And that's what's coming out of most pulpits. Don't let it get you. I'm telling you, don't let it get you. It is such, again, a privilege to know that we come here because of the Word of God. It's the Word, and it's falling in love with the Word, and that's Christ. And what it can do for you, and what it does for you is real. It's change that is real. It's a vision that's forever. It's got promise. It's not something about things. It's not something about a relationship that I want with somebody else or things of that nature. We're not approaching it in that way. We give ourselves to God and we yield to God. He'll work all those things out. He'll give you the relationship you need. He'll give you the job you need. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what He's after in our life. Do we really, really trust Him? This is the faith book. This whole thing's about faith. But Hebrews truly is by faith. It comes by faith. And it's in Jesus. It's not in anything else. Get rid of yourself. Get rid of any idea, ego, proud, any thought that you think that you're capable in anything. Now you can begin to understand what Jesus is about. You can begin to rest because you have ceased from your own works. You can become powerful. There's such power in that. Oh, I'm starting to realize the power when I just get away from it and say, Lord, you're going to take this thing. You're going to take tonight by the grace of God. And that's all I'm going to worry about today. Sunday, Friday, whatever, if it gets here, it gets here. But I'm still going to look for you to come first. Hallelujah. My faith made whole. Hallelujah. Pray and cease. Then I just get to worship. And I got the word right there. Don't even need to talk about it because it's right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Got to stay with this. Praise God. For then, second verse there of chapter 10, would they not have ceased to be offered? See, they would have kept doing this thing if it would have got them clean, if it would have been all right. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. They shouldn't have ever remembered it. That's how perfect this is. Don't think of sin. Don't. You're a new creation in Christ. Look what this is saying. Look what everything and everybody tries to point you to. Judgment, law, this whole world, that's all it's about. Am I playing by the rules in my business? Am I, you know, am I lawful in this? Am I going the right speed? Am I doing this? That's our whole life is judged by that. I'm not encouraging you to break the law. But when you're in Christ, there's no law. There isn't. And I'm talking about the law that really, in a sense, you understand, the Ten Commandments, that type of thing. It's gone. It's over. It's nailed to the cross. I'm free. Just as if I never sinned. I am justified. Go revel in that. You want to rest your head nice on a pillow? Go think about that. Hallelujah, what He's done for us. Praise God. Oh, praise God. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every single year. See, this is brought again in remembrance, as opposed to 8:12, which we studied a few weeks ago. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'll give you a foreshadow of Jesus, Terry, of what we'll read in 10:17 of Hebrews. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. How many times does He have to tell you? Your sins and your iniquities He remembers no more. Do you believe that? Do you really sit here and believe that? Do you rest in that? Do you revel in that? Now that you're free, live the grace of God. That's Him bringing you in to Him. That's when you become like Him. See, when you realize that you're free, there's such an appreciation, isn't there? That He has paid it all. Oh, hallelujah. That's that communion of fellowship that we get to enter in with Him. Thank you, Lord. The old covenant, again, is carnal or fleshly. It's made with hands, the things of sight, not with spiritual. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Lord willing, we'll get through more than four verses tonight. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, look at the things that are not seen. Where are our eyes? Where's our vision? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what they couldn't see, right? They could see the tabernacle, they could see all that, but that was temporal. It was a temporal deal. Hallelujah. Until the great high priest would come. So notice the word imposed. The carnal was imposed in verse 10 there of chapter 9. Imposed. It's a burden to impose on something. It's a burden. People come stay with you unannounced. That could be imposing. Okay, I'm not telling you not to do that at my house. Stay too long, then you smell like fish. What's that? No, I'm just teasing. Okay. But it's a burden. And truly, it's a yoke that's too heavy to bear. Because His yoke is grace, isn't it? Hallelujah. Isn't it grace? Isn't that what He gives to you? He says, you cast it upon Me. Take on My yoke. What do you think His yoke is? It's full of grace. It's full of love. And that grace will take us all the way in Christ. Every bit. Every bit of the way. You are saved by it. You're given the Holy Spirit by it, and you're going to grow by it all the way through. And He will finish you in His grace. Hallelujah. Because that grace is sufficient to give you the Spirit, and the Spirit gives you all those things, the love of God in your life, all of that. That's why it's truth and Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And Spirit and truth. You need the Word of God, and you need the Holy Spirit to give it to you. And when He gives you the Word of God, when He truly gives you the Word of God, He's going to shed it abroad, the love of God with it in your heart. Do you see that? See, a lot of people say, well, you need the love. Well, what do you think the Holy Spirit is, you nut? No, I'm serious. Do you get this? It's right there in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Know that. Know how important that is. Don't be dead to those things. Don't be sleepy to those things. Know it. Ask the Lord to give you that kind of communion that you can have with the Lord. Don't just have to come down here on Friday nights. I'm thankful, as I shared with saints that understand this and not put me up on anything. As the Lord has drawn me into fellowship with Him, and I'm not talking about the last 4 months. I'm talking about really the last 25 years of really drawing me into Him. The Spirit comes on me. It might just be in my mind that I'm worshiping Him. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. It's true. You sleep and you wake up. Sometimes you're speaking in tongues. It's an awesome thing. He's getting a hold of you. Not that, again, that you rely on that. But rejoice in that. Don't quench it. Allow it to grow. And praise God. It's so wonderful that I know that He's taking control. Praise Him. Without Christ in our lives, that yoke, see, is too heavy to bear. And at the end it says there, until the time of reformation. And that reformation means a setting of things right. And let's see that setting of things right. It's there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. So turn over to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And this is what he set right. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, fulfilled it in every way. I don't care what these nutty books write. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And I love that sixth verse. Just remember this, that you might receive, and because ye are sons. So that you might receive, and then immediately, ye are sons. If you've accepted Christ, that's how quickly it happened. You are sons. Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. Seated with Him in heavens together. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 11. Such a wonderful beginning here. But Christ. How many times in the Word of God do we have but Christ? But God. Isn't that wonderful? And we failed, we flopped, can't get it done. But Christ. He's right there. He is right there for you. Hallelujah. But Christ, being come an high priest of God, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, but is to say, not of this building. This truly does sum it up, doesn't it? Hallelujah. It truly does for my life. But Christ. All the ceremony, the law, the fleshly, legal high priest, he couldn't get it done. My faults and sins were still there. But Christ. But Christ. And again, thank you, Jesus, that we see this. I just marvel because I really got to thinking this afternoon, what religion truly doesn't point you to your goodness, to your faults, or to do good things in you? I'm serious. You tell me one that sees the grace of God that is not a grace meeting. And again, those are so-called grace meetings. I want to be a grace meeting. And by the grace of God, we are. Judge no man after the flesh. Quiet. See, I got enough going on in my life, the Lord's showing me. I don't need to judge you. I don't need to judge you. You don't need to judge me. You understand? You pray for me. We pray for one another. See, we're a body. Hallelujah. And you know what? I don't wish ill on my finger. I don't intentionally step on my toe. You know? It's true. Now think of that. You are more of the body of Christ than you are your own body. This is temporal. Do you get it? Do you really believe it? Because that's truly where we're at with Christ. He's bringing us into these things to really know who we are. The time's short. And entering into that kind of fellowship is so, so wonderful and necessary for it. But that's a wicked thing to think of the goodness. Because, see, He made us new and perfect, didn't He? Hallelujah. It says in the Word of God that He made me and washed me whiter than the snow. John 20:31, turn there. And this is how easy it is, was many verses, but John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, see, just believing, ye might have life through His name. And that's a wonderful name. You see what? You can say anything you want. You say Jesus, it's offensive. It offends, it cuts. It's the Word of God. It's the sharpest sword there's ever been. Ever will be. The name of Jesus convicts. It convicts to love or it convicts to hatred. It truly does. You think that people sit there and go, well, they're just kind of complacent about it. No, they're not. Mm-mm. It's going to convict one of two ways. And it'll finally get them. It will. Even if they are complacent, you say it two or three more times. You think you've provoked a dog sleeping before? I'm telling you. You know what I'm talking about if you've stood for Christ. We don't have to be offensive with the Word of God. We want to give the Word of God in love. We want to stand in defense of the gospel. And this sword, I'll tell you, it can be very offensive. I don't need to make it that way. I just want to be able to wield that sword in love. And you know what? It'll discern right there. You don't think you know something? You don't think you know somebody? Try to figure out really what they're about? Give them the Word of God. You know, a lot of people used to say, well, you take a guy out to play golf and you'll sure know about a lot about him. You know, his mannerisms. Why don't you start talking about the Word of God to somebody? Then you really know what they're about, won't you? Because they'll either say, well, that is great. And then if they love the Lord, a lot of times they don't want to enter into the type of fellowship that we might have with them. Hallelujah. But the promise arrived. The Anointed One had come. And I do truly feel so, as I was thinking about this, so grieved for my Jewish friends. I have, as I mentioned, such a dear man that I love so much. Two of his children have come to know the Lord. It's wonderful. Two of them now, because the two that have come to know the Lord, now they get their kids in Jewish schools. Because they got to get more Jewish now, or, you know, back into the law. It's so sad. And he thinks Jesus is good, and it was a good guy, a good prophet, but that's not going to get it done, see? That's not going to get it done. Because, see, he's still looking for his Messiah. And he came. He came. It turned the world upside down. I tell him, I said, everything points to him. Why does he offend you so much? Well, he doesn't offend me now. Well, he doesn't because your kids got saved. And you can see the good change that's in them. He said, yeah, but when my son got saved, the very first thing he walked into my house, he says, Dad, you're going to hell. And that's what he told him. Now, he told him the truth. I don't know how much love was surrounded in that, but maybe he thought he needed to provoke his dad to love at that moment. You know? But he's come a long way, and I pray, and I ask you to pray for him. His name's Art Schimmel, and like I said, just so dear to me. The Lord has used him in a mighty way in my life. But I love him so. But Jesus is the Christ. The fulfillment of every prophecy and every bit of God's Word and will. For He is the Word. He is the Word. Oh, and became flesh and dwelt among us. And what good things to come? As we read there in Hebrews 10:1, He's the very image of those good things. The gospel of grace, so mighty and free and true. It enables us to grow up into, by the grace of God, the gospel of the glory. Hallelujah. See, to be a full partaker of the fullness of God, that's what we're after. The fullness of God in our life. That's when we become like Him. That's when we enter from just an heir to a joint heir. Because if you're going to be like Him, you're going to suffer for His name's sake, aren't we? Yeah, and don't deny those sufferings. It may get lonely. It may get tough. There's separation. We've been talking about that a lot on Sunday mornings. It's going to happen. You do not have to, I assure you, you do not have to separate yourself from anyone, from the world, in any way, shape, or form. Love Christ. It will happen. It will happen. You'll go to places that you thought you could go to, that you used to go to when you fall in love with Jesus, and you will have the worst time. You go to parties. I don't feel like being here. What's wrong? Well, we're going to go have fun, and we're going to dance and drink and do all this type of thing. It doesn't sit there, does it, anymore? It's gone. Praise God. Don't waste your life. And adults, we get into that sometimes too. But even besides that, you can see the devil's subtle. He tries to just get our minds off of the things of God so quickly. So quickly, with little things we think about. Just love him. See, if I had to worry about all the ways that he could get my mind off of Christ, I'd be just caught up in fret and worry all the time, wouldn't I? Didn't he say, be anxious for nothing? But in all things by what? Prayer and thanksgiving. Let your request be what? Made known. Let him know what you're praying about. Plead to him. Cry out. He wants to hear that. He wants to hear our cries. He wants us to plead. Lord, hear me. We're going to talk a little bit about sheep maybe this Sunday. And you know what? You ever hear sheep? I mean, really hear sheep? You get in like a pen with them? Your head shakes. They're so loud. They know when they want something, they'll cry out. Praise God. All right. Verse 12. We're in verse 11. No, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Again, this was not by the blood of animals. And notice it was plural. Animals, because that signified that it was year after year after year. It was back in their face. And I have to tell you, as I read this, I think of many dear friends that I have that are Catholics. Okay? God loves everyone, every single person. And he loves Baptists, he loves Christians, he loves Catholics, he loves Jews, he loves everybody. He loves Muslims. He does. Loves them all. He loves. That's why he sent his son for all man. He did. Now, but I was thinking about that. To be locked into that remembrance of sin. What is confession? What is confession? Hail Marys? Things of that? That's the remembrance. It's the remembrance. By the grace of God, we're beyond that. Do you understand that's insulting to the Father? The true Father, the only Father, our wonderful God. His Son died for that. There's one mediator. There's one place I go. And he may convict you sometimes to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm such a flop. I'm sorry I horsed up so much and what a big sin. Yikes. And I always remember him, really, I'm on his lap and he's scratching his head and he said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is love. This is how I love you. Now take that a step further. That's how we're to love one another. Well, Brother Jesse, I don't think so-and-so could be here anymore. Well, look what they did. Well, we could expose it right now and they're going to be out of here. And don't you think that would be so nice for the assembly? Ye who are spiritual, restore. And not restore them to what they were. God wants us restored beyond. He wants us to come to a full knowledge and relationship with Him. Each one of us. Not just to be saved, but to come to a knowledge. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't want to get off on a lot of different thoughts, but hallelujah. But Christ has freed us again. Hebrews 8, 12 and 10, 17. Our sins never to be remembered again. We've spoken many times about Galatians 2, 20, that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. But not I, but Christ lives in me. And I'd like to turn over to Romans and follow up with Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 6:14 through 18. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And I know a lot of you are shaking your head and saying, you don't know my life. There's sin so got dominion over me. That doesn't have dominion over you. Don't let it reign in your life, the Word of God says. But you're a new creature. You're blind. You're not claiming who you really are. It's like you got knocked in the head, you got amnesia, and you don't know who you really are. You're walking around saying, you know, I think I'm John Wayne, but I'm really, you know, whatever it might be. No, but I'm serious about that. You know, when people lose their minds or whatever it is. Mm-mm. You are the new creation. If you've accepted Christ, you have that. That is you. That other thing died. It's dead. I think it was Sister Bodie or Brother Copley said, it's like dragging around, you know, you're married to a new husband and all that. You know, sorry to say it this way, but your husband died. And you got him handcuffed and you're dragging him around introducing him to people and he's dead. That's a pretty awful thought. That's what you're doing. And it's worse. And he wants you to enter into a marriage that is beyond. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. But you're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. When you love Christ, you don't go out there and sin willfully. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? That's why Christians can get out of sorts. That's why they can blend in just right with the world. Because you're obeying the enemy. That's you become his servant. And there's absolutely no freedom in that. You're locked in to a bondage. Get free. Get free. But it doesn't, like I say, we think of it as just like sin of maybe alcohol or infidelity, whatever it may be. And that's awful. We don't want to be in that. It could be self-righteousness. And most of the time, that's our problem that will be in this. Devil says, well, I know I don't even mess with that. Dope? Bah, not going to mess with that. Maybe a few of them, all that. Nah. That self-righteousness, that pride, get them every time. I'm going to go right at them. Ooh, I can get them thinking that they're high and mighty, that they're better than somebody. But for the grace of God, there go I. See, that's the communion that we have in Christ, that He is everything to us, that our confidence is in Him, that our sufficiency is in Him, that He's our high tower, that He's our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's everything. That's where the land that He wants to take us to in such sweetness. And we're going to see giants there. Times we're going to be fearful. But again, like Abram, having that worship, the altar of worship, right there, all the time. Saying, Lord, yeah, horsed up again, messed it up again, but I love You. You've caused my heart to be softened. I'm not hardened. The Word can still work in my life. That's why I say, don't get down. You're here. There's something going on. You're here. There's something going on. Lord softened you. Okay? Not many people in their right mind come to Bible studies on Wednesday nights, do they? Uh-huh. That's right. And a bunch of losers, right? Is that what they say? No, I'm just teasing. No, we're running to win something. We know that there's something out there. It's a precious time to get together. Hallelujah. Okay. Try to finish in here. But God be thanked. In that 17th verse of Romans 6 there. God be thanked. And it's God. That ye were the servants of sin. See, that's past tense. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto that was delivered you. And that's the doctrine again that Paul brought. Hallelujah. Know that. That's a beyond doctrine. Again, how free we are, the dispensation that we can be one with Christ. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I love that 22nd verse too. I'll just read that. But now being made free from sin, because you are, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's where He wants to take us. Hallelujah. All right. Again, it was by His own blood. It was shed freely. He offered Himself and He gave up the ghost. Christ had to allow Himself, and we've studied this many times over the past few months, He had to even allow Himself to die. Because He was so powerful, He had to give up the ghost, didn't He? Yep. For that tabernacle to be the faith made whole, for us to enter into the Holy of Holies, for the cherubim, the bride, to take her place, it's all by the blood. It's all through the blood. He shed it freely, didn't He? That's the free gift. That's what God sees. That's the only reason you're accepted. Again, get over yourself. It's true, isn't it? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that I really, and I pray. And again, it's every day. My salvation's new every day. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. And I'm not saying once you see that, oh, I just got it made. I'm right there. Uh-uh. But I'm so thankful that He's encouraging us each day into that. Isn't that wonderful? To know that you're free. To know that it's Him, that you know that it's His blood. And again, it was once for all. Romans 6:10, you can go back there and read that. That He died once, one time, done, finished. No more. Remembrance of sin. The debt's been paid. In Him justified. Christ lives in me. The new creation. No one can lay anything to God's elect. Heir, Son of God. Seated together. Our citizenship in heaven. In the hand of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in His Father's hand. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Go read further in Romans 8. What shall separate you from the love of God? Nothing. That is a deal. That is His will. And we're going to read by the grace of God too about the testator later on, if we ever get there. But Lord knows we kind of get here and there with these things. But it's so true. It's so wonderful. There had to be the death of that. And we're going to read about that testator. And he died. Yeah, he died. But it was a will. He had a will. And again, this is God's will to us. And it's full of promise, inheritance, and treasure. It's eternal. John 3:16, everlasting life. Magnificence of His kingdom. Heaven itself. Our redemption of grace and infinite love. Is it really real to you when they talk about the streets of gold? I believe it is. I believe we see that. I believe that's right. The crystal sea, those type of things. The mansion that He's preparing for us. The exceeding riches of His grace. And by the grace of God, if we'll allow it, even ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. That one, sometimes I just shake my head and I say, oh Lord. How could it be? How could that be? There's some mighty men in this world. Mighty men that have lived. A lot smarter than me. A lot mightier than me. Boy, they could get the crowds up. They could get them around. They could, you know, satisfy the itching ear. Sing to them. Love up on them. But you said that you'd make me that if I loved you. If you allow me to work in your life. And to grow that faith up in you. That's what you can have. And see, that is truly the I am redeemed. And that is our eternal redemption. Well, I think, Lord willing, we're going to stop there. And I encourage you to read ahead a little bit. Because we're going to read about the blood of bulls and goats. And Lord willing, I was hoping so much we'd get to that heifer, the red heifer. And Lord knows about that. So wonderful. And I pray this has just encouraged you tonight. It so encourages me. So let's stand and be dismissed.